Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pips, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing as we unpack a wild weekend of football that has just seen a coach get fired after the result from Sunday's football game as the New York Giants pull the trigger and fire Brian Daboll after they lose to the Chicago Bears. And I don't think it's so much about, like, the loss. You could argue about how they lost, and it's pretty wild because the New York Giants have been, the Giants are a 2-8 football team, but they don't have to be. They have blown numerous games this year, and it's pretty wild. As I see, against the Dallas Cowboys, they had a 92.3% chance of winning. They lost the game. Against the Denver Broncos, they had a 99.3% chance of winning the football game. They lost the game. Yesterday, they had a 96.9% chance of winning the football game in the fourth quarter. They managed to lose the game. And so the losses are piling up, and the relationship between Brian Daboll, the organization, and the quarterback, Jackson Dart, has to be, you know, in question. And I think the Giants got freaked out seeing Brian Daboll freak out on the sidelines every week and try to get his young quarterback killed. And the relationship with Russell Wilson, and Daboll pretty much thinks that he's like Vince Lombardi. Like, Brian Daboll, put it, I guess the best way of putting it is, Brian Daboll acts, not even going to say that he acts like Andy Reid, because Andy Reid's pretty, like, chill and stuff for a guy that's won many, many Super Bowls. Like, Bill Belichick, like, he's kind of a dictator jerk, and he's a jerk to everybody, except he doesn't win. So it's like, dude, like, where do you get off? Like, why? Like, I remember Pierre Maguire told a story. Pierre Maguire threw himself under the bus, the hockey analyst. And Pierre Maguire became, like, the youngest coach in the NHL years ago. And Pierre Maguire was an assistant with the Pittsburgh Penguins for a couple of years. So Pierre Maguire's a young coach. He happens to fall ass backwards on a Scotty Bowman staff. He's with Scotty Bowman for a couple of years. When Pierre Maguire became a coach, he said, well, you know what? I modeled myself after Scotty Bowman, not thinking that you can't talk to the people the same way that Scotty Bowman does, right? Scotty Bowman's got like 18 Stanley Cup wins, you know what I mean? Or at the time, you know what I mean? 8, 9, whatever, God knows what happened. Like, if you've got a million wins, people will be like, yeah, listen, he's a jerk and whatever, but he wins, he knows what he's doing. If you're losing all the time and you're a jerk, then what are you? You're going to be fired. Right? That's why, like, say McDaniel. McDaniel's not a jerk. Like, the players don't dislike McDaniel, right? They don't win. You could say, oh, he should be a bigger jerk. You could argue, but, like, they don't dislike him. They dislike Brian. Everybody, no one likes Brian Daboll, all right? No one likes Brian Daboll. So Brian Daboll ends up getting fired, and you basically just wasted a rookie season with Jackson Dart. You wasted everything. The Giants are just a train wreck of a mess, and it's almost like, I'm not going to say no one's going to want this job because it is a damn good job, right? It's the New York Giants. You're in New York. There isn't really that much pressure. There is kind of, but they've been so bad for so long that whatever, dude, you get them into a wild card and they'll build a statue for you. Like, Giant fans are like dying for success, and they're not really a mean fan base per se. They'll boo you once you start sucking, but they're not going to attack you. Like, they'll be supportive first about it. You know what I mean? Like, they'll give you the chance, right? They'll give you the chance, and then they'll eventually turn on you, but they don't instantly turn on you in New York like the Giant fans. They're not like irrational. I'll put it that way. So I think there'll be a lot of coaches that are going to look at this and go, wow, we have a lot of really good talent on this football team. You have an ownership group that doesn't get in your way. Like, it's pretty crazy. You can rip the Giants all you want, but it actually is a very good job, right? The only thing is the chaos with the quarterbacks that they created. So if you're a coach, you come in here and you just say, listen, we can't have Jackson Dart, Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston on the same football team. Like, it was a dumb idea to begin with. You allocated funds to the quarterback. Like, what are you paying all these quarterbacks for? You can't play them all, right? What's the point? You could be, you know, the money should have gone to other players. They're a mismanaged team, and it's funny because the GM and the coach are buddies. They both came from Buffalo, Daboll and Shane. Shane was the assistant general manager with the Buffalo Bills, and he was the coordinator. But as far as Brian Daboll is concerned, like, for a guy with as much ego as he had, you look at, like, he had the Pierre McGuire syndrome because he coached with Nick Saban. All right, so that's his success. So Brian Daboll, whatever, he won a national championship, I guess, once, or he was with Alabama for a couple of years, and he was the OC. He was the, you know, so he's always the OC with, like, good players, you know what I mean? Like the off, you know, the San Francisco 49ers. And so he's a head coach with the Giants. It implodes. But I actually do think people will want this job because Jackson Dart is good. And hell, you've got talent, especially defensively. And you're going to have a top five pick, top three pick in a National Football League draft. Let's bring in Mo Conner, Cam Stewart. Mo, do you believe, like, what's your prediction for the New York Giants? This isn't college, so you can't just go steal. You can't say, oh, yeah, they're going to hire Andy Reid. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Andy Reid goes to the Giants.
They're going to have to come up with their own coach. But I do believe it's an attractive job. Like I said, like, yeah, like people think, oh, like the Jets job is worse, right? Because the Jets suck. The Jets are negative. The owner of the Jets is incompetent. They're like, the Jets are a bad job. And the Jets ownership group is involved. Like, Woody Johnson doesn't know what he's doing and Chris Johnson and stuff, but they still get involved anyways. Like, they're more hands-on. Like, they'll speak to the coach a couple of times a week and, like, they'll complain after, you know what I mean? The Giants don't. Like, the Giants are pretty much hands-off. You saw, man, Daboll should have been fired a long time ago, put it that way. And he wasn't. But I think it's an attractive job, Mo. Man, you got Jackson Dart. You got a ton of talent on defense. You got another big draft pick coming. There's nothing not to like about the New York Giant job, actually.
No, there isn't. But, you know, you think about it this way, guys. This will be their, I think, their sixth or seventh full-time head coach since 2016, I believe, right? So they've been through the rigors of coaches of late since Tom Coughlin was let go. But the thing is, guys, that they have to get the structure in place. John Mara and Steve Tisch are, as you said, Gabe, hands-off owners. They're not going to be like the Johnsons or anyone else who want to become the GM of or the face of the franchise. But the key now is who can fit the profile that you want to be the head coach, right? It won't be Joe Brady because he comes essentially from Buffalo, which runs the same offense principle. So that's out the window. And what's other big name hires out there?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't dismiss that because Brady and Roman are very different. Roman, great. Here's another one of these guys that's been around forever. But Brady's offense is different than Daboll.
But they're the same principles that the Bills employ, though, right? The running game and stuff, right?
So they're not going to dismiss a guy just because they, you know, they coached at the same school or, you know, being they coached with the same team before years ago.
But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, the reality is they have to find a coach that can handle the New York market, media market, expectations, and just to make sure they just manage this roster. Because, Gabe, you're right. They have a lot of studs on defense that can
be
game
wreckers.
They need
a coach that can win. Throw out all the other stuff. It's not, you know what I mean? Let's just be real. They need a coach that can win.
That can win, but it also can handle the New York market, right? It's such a Gabe, you've been in the market.
Nah, it's overrated, that whole stuff. The New York market gets bad when you're bad. You know what I mean? If you're good, they'll overhype you at first. It's not like they want you to fail in New York. It's not. There's more negative markets. Trust me, Vancouver is more negative than New York is.
With the Canucks, of course.
Like, way worse, I'm telling you. Like, just way worse. Like, every question is negative. It's toned in a negative way. That it's just more like it's, like, I'm telling you guys. Not just Vancouver. Like, hockey in Canada is way worse.
So, let me ask you a question, guys. You and Cam. Does Bill Belichick take a peek at this job and kind of throw his name in the
Belichick. I would never hire that guy. We're like,
But think about it, though, right? Like,
I wouldn't want Bill Belichick. Yeah, you know what, though?
You know, he might take a peek at this job.
One thing with the owner, the Maras, and I know there's a Tisch in there too, but it's basically the Maras that run things. They do like names, right? Mm-hmm. And Belichick was there before many years ago. They've always, that's why they signed Russell Wilson at the time, right? They wanted credibility, right? But I do agree, Mo, in the sense, I'm just saying the whole media thing, it's overrated, bro. Like, it's kind of it's New York. Like, but the media is not that bad. The talk show hosts are bad. There's a difference, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a difference between you getting ripped on WFAN every day, but then, like, the media that are actually in the room with you asking questions and covering the team, it's not that bad. It really isn't. Like, I'm telling you, the Jets is worse. The Jets is a more hostile sort of environment than the Giants are. there's still some sort of weird respect. Like the Giants have won before, so it's almost like the Canadians when they were bad, Mo. Like the media wants to rip them, but they're scared to rip them in a way. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're still right. The Canadians. Like they're still that aura. And it's still the same thing, Cam, in New York. Like,
yeah,
am I really? You really start ripping the Giants? Like they'll take your pass. Like, or they're gonna come at you. Like they are the Giants. And the thing of the Giants is sort of like, hey, we've been classy with you. We gave you a good lunch. Like, we don't mess with you. Like, the Jets, like, put out crackers type thing. Like, the Giants, like, the Giants put out a lunch. Like, you know what I mean? Like the Giants, like, are smarter.
Food like, in Montreal, you sandwiches. Get Oka cheese yeah, like the and the best like, hey, of
we
the best.
We were pretty nice to you. We gave you a pass. We let you come chunky in. Soup. We gave you food. Like, why, like, don't rip. Like, you can criticize us, but don't be, like, shock jock on us.
Yeah. Sandwiches from the vendors.
Yeah, like good example is like the giant media mode. It's very Canadian. Like they get bitched at. Like Bart Oates even gets mad. People are like, you're a big homer, Bart Oates. Like, you know what I mean?
I love Bart Oates.
Oh, no, like Carl Banks, Cam. Like, he's another one.
Oh, legend.
Guy of Carl Banks, right?
Yes.
Carl Banks, man, fights with callers, bro. Like, constantly. Because they call in and they're like, this team sucks, but I know you think they're great, eh, Carl? And Carl's like, when did I say they were great?
They're great.
Exactly. And he goes, they're trying. Like you can tell. Like he's going out of his way to defend them type of deal.
That's the best.
But there's only so much he can do.
Crackers and soup. No, you're right. No, it's funny, you go to Montreal,
callers are all like, yeah, hey, Carl, cheese, yeah, you think they're great though, huh?
Exactly.
The Jets are gonna be cheese whiz. Scraps.
Exactly.
Yeah, same with the Canadians. The Canadians are like kind of first class. So like if you F with them, they notice. They're like, oh yeah, hey, we were really nice to you. Hey, you want to take a shot at us? Right, maybe you shouldn't be in here. Maybe we shouldn't have a pass. Like, you know.
Very true.
The Jets is just like a free for all. You go to the Jets and you can just yell.
What do you guys? Like, what do you guys think of Kingsbury? I know, like with the offensive weapons that he has, and but Gabe, you look at the record at 28-37. But he did look at the Cardinals now. He had an 11-6 record with these guys. I know in 2001, like he's a good offense. A Kubiak in Seattle, that kind
of personality. You know, I'm with Mo on this one. You need to get the right guy.
Yeah, because he's a terrible in-game manager.
Who's the right guy?
That's
Bill Belichick.
But guys, look at the body of the last 10 years. Who they are: Joe Judge, Shermer, Scooby Doo. Was Ben McAdoo a big part of Scooby Doo?
Yeah, you notice Scooby Doo in there, guys. There were a lot of coaches that wouldn't be coaches elsewhere, and or kind of like yes men, right? In a way, like they're they're a nice family and all that. They run the team in this first class, but. There's a little Dallas Cowboy in them, in that I think the Giants have often thought in the past, guys, that it's an honor to coach the Giants more than it is. You know what I mean? Like they look at themselves like the Canadians or like the Yankees and stuff, right? We're the New York Giants. You know, we've won Super Bowls, and they have, right? But you're never really good. You've won Super Bowls in spurts, kind of spread out, right? You've never really been a dominant franchise, like, for a long time. You had your little run with Parcells and Taylor, et cetera. Even, the Phil Simms teams, they weren't great during the regular season. You know what I mean? The Eli Manning, kind of got lucky twice out of, But they do view themselves as, like, one of these model sort of, you're honored to coach us. I think that's what they got to throw out the window a bit.
Like, what about Mike McCarthy?
No, that's the same thing. No. It's like but
he's even more of a nice guy.
But that's the thing.
I like your first name the best. The one you threw out, that was the number one name you threw out, was the first one, Joe Brady. I'm going younger. I'm going OC. I'm going with someone that is aggressive. I don't want a conservative coach. I don't want a retread.
He's great with quarterback development, right?
He's already good. Whatever, dude. Like, McCarthy is a good coach, but he won't win a Super Bowl. McCarthy will get you to the playoff type thing. You know what I mean? He's a baby. He's a caretaker. I want I would go with like a new, more aggressive. And or, all right, how about John F. and Gruden, Mo?
You know, a buddy of mine, he's a diehard Giant fan. I saw him last night, and he says, and we were watching the Sunday night games.
John Gruden with Dart just feels right, actually.
Yeah, he said, he goes, I have a feeling John Gruden might be the guy. Because of his first off, his personality, to connect. And guys, we spoke about, right? Gruden has
you just said personality, ego, winner, handle the media. The New York media would be scared of him.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, he'll own the media. Dude, I met him. He repeated my name like three times. Good to see you, Gabe. Hey, good day, Gabe. I like him.
Morency,
he's a people person. Like, he knows how to work people, Gruden, fast, you know?
And I think he would do well with the Jackson Dart because it fits his profile of what type of quarterback he envisions to run his system. And
get a giant fan excited.
Of course. And think about it this way, guys, right? Look how apathetic. Bro,
you want to get ripped on WFAN, hire Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, exactly.
But look how apathetic.
Come in then, man. Let me tell you.
Let me tell you something, guys. I'm going to the Giant Viking game next month, okay, at MetLife. I expect to be family and friends only at the game. Like, when I leave MetLife, it'll be like 5 minutes of traffic because that's how apathetic they are towards the Giants brand right now. So I think I agree that Gruden could be the wild card in this whole process.
Most people are forced to go to Giant games. I've said this. I've said this in the past. That's true, Cam.
That's the best.
No, I was there, so I used to see it. Like, I was like, man, these people are like very unhappy people. And
it's a Jets fan.
It's like dad taking his kids.
Jets fan is funny. Yeah,
because it's exactly.
I hate this team with a passion.
I love it.
They're like, why are you here? He was like, I was born into this crap. He goes, my parents make me come. And it was the same thing. The Giants. The Giants, the same thing. Like, literally, I've seen there's a lot of funny interviews and like podcast stuff down there. Like, there was this great show. It was like, but you love them. It was, I don't know if you remember. It was one of those. It was the Giants and the Jags, literally like December 23rd type thing, 24th.
Right.
And it was horrible weather. It was like snowing sideways and raining. And they went around the parking lot of people tailgating at a Jaguar Giant game in December. And they asked people, what are you doing here? Like, why are you here? And there was one guy who goes, I'm not a fan of either team, but I like to bet on games or go to games. There were a couple of dudes. It was funny. They're like, we're big Clemson fans. We want to see Trevor Lawrence. There were like dudes in Clemson jerseys. It was very random. And then you got all like, they got to the Jet fans sort of in their tents tailgating and stuff under the, like the tarmacs and whatnot. And they were all like the Giant fans. And they're all like, oh. My grandfather has season tickets, my father, and I'm born into this, and I can't come. I'm not allowed not to come. Like, they're basically, you're told, like, as a kid there, like a teenager, you get old, you're like, yeah, if you don't come, you're not allowed to come when they get good after. Like, it's a real family blackmail thing that they've got going on.
Blackmail?
Yeah,
it's like a mafia thing over here.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, you're stuck with it. It's like... Like, a lot of the kids want to defect, and it's sort of like the mob, like Mo said. Like, no, you're not allowed. You got to be a Giant fan.
I got a name for you guys.
Family blackmail. That's the best.
I got a name for you guys. This is my hot take right now. So, okay. Gabe, you're going with your Gruden thing? My hot take will be this.
Joe Brady.
I like Joe Brady, too. What about Minter of the Chargers? But he's defensive.
You're close.
Know. Yeah, Minter was good call, Cam, but... Minter only has a year NFL experience, though. Give him another couple of more years.
I think he's the type of guy, though, Gabe, with Brady. Like, you don't want to bring in these old retreads and guys. Good point by you. The Giants guys, you can't have a guy that's pushed around. Minter's a no BS guy. And look what he did. Like, he's just one of those.
Minter's
he's a football
like 32
guy.
Years old, though. He's very young. He's only been a coordinator in the NFL for a year. He was only the head defensive coordinator of Michigan for a year, Cam. Like, slow it down a bit.
Look at McDonald.
Somebody will go after him. It's a good call that somebody might say, hey, the thing is Brady's higher up in the pecking order, point blank, right, than Minter is. But I like your call from Minter.
Look at the Michigan family. Look what McDonald's doing with the Seahawks. Gabe, there's something about that tree. And I'm so happy that the Seahawks actually went. They're everywhere. Oh, yeah, Mike McDonald, whatever. Like, look what they've done. Look at that defense. That freaking Lawrence had two defensive touchdowns against the Cardinals. They're up 28-0 before the game even starts. That Michigan, those guys are good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could hire an offensive guy. The Giants need everything despite having, like, great defensive players. I don't know. Gabe, I'm with you. Brady or him are my two guys. That's what I'd look
even
at.
Even Mike McDonald. McDonald looks older than he is. McDonald is actually only 38 years old.
Yeah, he's football family.
But, he's doing a great job. But same thing. McDonald had a little bit more experience than Minter in that, you know, McDonald was with the Ravens. He was with Michigan. But Cam is right. Look, all these coaches have the coaching tree, right?
Yep.
Reed's got the coaching tree and Sean McVay. There's a million coaches now that are all like under the McVay guys. Now you sort of got your Harbaugh assistant guys, right? That Harbaugh's been around long enough that he's got his guys. And I like the Harbaugh guys. Like, McDonald, It's kind of like Harbaugh, but almost, you know, I'm not going to say more aggressive because put it this way. I think Harbaugh has a really good fundamental like foundation to build off of. So right. If you're a coach that's with him, well, imagine if you would just be a little bit more aggressive than him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So say, all right. I'm going to take all these good things that he does, but let's be crazier on offense than he likes to be. But to be honest, he lets, you know, he run, you know, the Chargers offense is rolling along. They throw the football. Like, he's not overly conservative, but Jim still has a little bit of that, say, old school mentality first. But good call by Cam with Minter. Like, it's one of those deals. Like, if you wait too long, you'll miss out on Minter, right? Or you want to be the first one up with him. But it's a bold pick. But I don't think for New York and stuff. Like, just – and I love Minter. Like I said, he was the DC that won the national championship with Michigan. But I personally think Minter just needs a little bit more seasoning and experience in a National Football League. He needs to see a couple of more things still before I'd make him a head coach personally. But speaking of head coaches – Mo, your take, the Buffalo Bills lose to the Dolphins. Bills fans are getting pretty upset. It's funny because last week, everyone was, oh, good win against the Chiefs. I was like, yeah, so what?
Yeah.
So we've waited so long with the window that, all right, so you beat the Chiefs now, but now there's all these new upstart young teams that are good, right? So now we got these new problems on our hands. Not that the Dolphins are that young upstart team, but there's two ways for me to look at this. One, sheer anger and just what the F are we doing? Sean McDermott should be like, we got to start seriously considering whether we need a coaching change in the offseason. And even part of me thought, dear God, when I wake up in the morning, is Sean McDermott going to be fired? But they are 6-3, right? So we got to take a step back. Have they lost the teams that they shouldn't lose to? Yes. But they are still 6-3. They're on pace to be, you know, whatever, man, 12-5, 11-6, et cetera. Are they going to win a division? Probably not. So, but at the same point in time, I don't want to over panic about a 6-3 team. Yet it's not the 6-3, Mo. We're going in the wrong direction and or not getting better, right? It's either a neutral or we're getting worse or it's the same. And I don't think it's all McDermott's fault. I think Josh Allen is partly to blame as well, as crazy as that sounds. When he said, oh, I don't have expectations about winning a Super Bowl. I've given up on the pressure thing and all that. Like, I don't know. Like, do you care anymore? Like, I hate to say it, but like to the Buffalo Bills, like you guys don't look like you care as much as the Philadelphia Eagles do. You don't look like you care as much as the Seattle Seahawks do. Like when they lose, they're not as angry as they should be. Like,
and I'm not their game plan.
The losses. It's more so just like the old shrug of the shoulders, everything is fine all the time. And it's not.
It's not fine. And they go up and basically say, oh, we wanted Keon Coleman to be more involved in the game. How about you just win a damn football game? The turnovers are really bad, too, when I'm watching the way they're not protecting the ball. And that's the thing. You play to the level of the competition. You beat the Chiefs, and then you lose to a Dolphins team that's basically ravaged by injuries. You got a coach in McDaniel that's trolling Bills fans after the game. It's just like,
they're laying the ball for that, though, Cam. They're never – the thing is – unless you're playing against a good team, you'll notice the Bills are never ready to play early, Mo.
You're right.
They never are.
No.
Like,
no,
but it's like, get ready. Like, and that's not just McDermott. I'm not going to, like, we're not a college team. You're grown men.
Yes.
Like, I don't need to have to babysit you to get, like, you know, get you fired up. Right. Like, we saw it. It really pissed me off last month. They brought in, who's the guy? Was it, who was the running back? The old guy was always there all the time. Can't believe I'm forgetting the guy's name. He was there forever. Fan favorite.
Mark, Fred
Williams.
Fred,
no, not Williams. Fred
Jackson.
Fred Jackson.
Yeah. You're going crazy here. Thank you. Yeah, Fred Jackson. Brought up Fred Jackson, and he had the mic, and it was a 40 game, and he's on the field.
I like that guy.
And he was like, "Let's go, Bills Mafia!" And he was getting them all fired up, and he was banging a drum or whatever. Like, and it was kind of like, man, you know what? It's, you know, Cam, you've been there. Yep. It's like the Bills fans, like it's become about them and Bills Mafia.
Great call.
And like that's a jumping great through tables and like
good take.
Like we're here to win football games, guys. Like, yes. You know what I mean? It's about the game. Like it's become this big sort of joke to me almost. Like, let's rein this thing and win effing football games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I'm not gonna panic 6-3. What's your take, Mo? Should we be panicking?
So far, Buffalo's 6 wins have come against teams who are not in playoff spots right now. That's just what it is, right? But here's my concern about Buffalo, guys. Gabe, you brought it up. Cam, you brought it up a month ago. the defense. They have to be more stout, stop in the run. Like, you think about the first play, momentum should be on your side. It's not on your side. You just can't materialize for points, right? And it just felt like, and you know, and Gabe, you know very well, Buffalo, for whatever reason, when they play in Florida, they don't do well. Win or lose, they just don't do well. They struggle. But the thing is, for this Buffalo Bills team, guys, they don't have a game changer on that defense. Who on that defense do you say, hey, we got to double team that guy? There's no one there. There's no one there. There's no Bruce Smith. Okay, like there's no Bruce Smith on that team that would change the game for them. And that puts more pressure on Josh Allen. That puts more pressure on Joe Brady to pick a play that's going to fit well for the scheme that they run. And I think, you know, for James Cook, you know, you've got to get him more involved. If you don't get him involved, guys, it becomes a vanilla style offense where you go, all right, Josh, improvise, use your legs, use your arm, do what you got to do, make a play or two to win this football game. And you
saw Joe Brady.
But the thing is, it can be Joe Brady.
That's my point. It's not just McDermott. In that, I blame the defensive woes on McDermott. But the Bills really have done this as a team in the sense of all of their collective failures, there's someone to blame for. There's somebody else to blame for it. Honestly, I don't know why, Mo. They do this all the time. James Cook will be lighting it up and they get away from it. Look at the playoff game last year, bro, against the Chiefs.
Fourth quarter.
Yep. It was insane. It was like, listen, I don't care if Josh Allen's a star. He's not right now. He's not now. And you guys should be happy you have a new star on the team anyways. Like, it's almost like, wow, you know, we better get Josh more involved. Like, no, just keep giving the ball to James Cook. He's one of the best running backs in the league. Like, point blank. Give him the ball in the fourth quarter. Like, they always, you see this all the time. You're like, damn, Cook looks good. And then it's like, where's Cook? Is he hurt? No, he's not hurt. They're just not giving it to him. Right? And it's over and over and over again. I'm surprised. Like, there's been a few times where he kind of, you know what I mean? He kind of says something, but it's Josh's team. So what's he going to do? He'll give me the F in Baltimore? So that's on Joe Brady. I've been bringing this up for years and years, and no one ever, people ever kind of look at me and I bitch about it. Like, well, I don't know, like the linebackers. No one talks about linebackers.
They're so slow.
The Bills have not, like, had. If you look, you talk about Bruce Smith, Mo. Who else did they have on that football team? Shane Conlin.
Cornelius Bennett.
Darryl Talley.
Killers.
Like, their linebackers were the defense. It was like, yeah, we got Bruce Smith and Cornelius, but we also have, like, yeah, like, we got, like, you want to run? Conlin's going to light your ass up. Yeah, you want to run? Darryl Talley's going to light you up. Like, they had, now, it's like, well, we got Matt Milano. Matt Milano's hurt, you know, hurt more than I'm hungover. Like, he's always hurt. Like,
he's a McCaffrey as well.
Yeah, he's always, like, you know, like,
me too.
You know, every week, the same thing. Well, you know, they don't have Milano. That's why they're not good against the pass with a running back. We never have Milano.
Like, he's always a screw.
He's like Van and Ashmo, the guy in the Cowboys. Yeah, he was good when he plays. He never plays. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Plays but every 2 weeks.
Guys, the next three games are huge. Tampa, at Houston, at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, they'll look good against the good teams. Watch. They'll bounce back.
Yeah, they'll play these guys.
Like, they're playing Tampa Bay this week, and, you know, everyone's, oh, you know, I'll take the points of Tampa. This is the type of game
they'll look good against Tampa, and everyone will be like,
exactly.
Oh, Buffalo's fine. Look,
exactly.
Good. No problem.
You know what the problem is, too, though? Like, Kincaid was really starting to be, like, on fire.
Yeah, and then
I know, Gabe, but I'm just saying, when Kincaid went out, the whole offense looked a little bit different, too. Like, they got to come up with some schemes, and the linebackers are too slow. But I'm with you, Morenci. I think this week, everyone's like, oh, the Bills suck. And then they're going to go and punch Baker Mayfield and these guys in the face. It's what they do.
And I like Keon Coleman, but whatever. You know, it is what it is.
Yep.
By the way, you know who went after Keon Coleman?
About that, though. They let them get Xavier Woods. And I'm not even saying, like, that the Bills didn't want Xavier Woods, fine. I bitch about this, like, I was raging about it at the time. But I said, fine, you don't want Xavier Woods? Doesn't mean you let the Chiefs get him. You tell the Chiefs, good for you. You want him? I don't know. You trade with someone else. Like, whatever. I don't care if you like Xavier Woods. So, like, they facilitated, like, the Chiefs getting Xavier Woods, who's actually good. He's hurt, but he's good. And then the Bills get Keon Coleman, who really has given him nothing. And there's been a lot of wasted first-round draft picks with the Bills. And my deal, Mo, and I do agree in that the Bills are, like, really good, but it's like if you're all in, go all in. Like, you know, look at, like, the Philadelphia Eagles. You know what I mean? Like, every time there's a defensive player available, whether they have room or money or not, they just do it. They'll figure it out. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, just get the damn player. We'll figure it out.
Rams will do it too, Gabe.
Yeah, exactly. The Rams. Get them on our team. We'll worry about the cap later, and we'll pay the fine and the luxury, whatever. We'll worry about it after. Like, it's not like they're going to shut our team down because we just went over the cap right now.
Sorry, right? Gabe, like, to add more stress to your levels right now, you know who went after Keon Coleman in the draft that you got picked in 2024? Ladd McConkey.
The pick right after. He would have been a perfect fit for the Buffalo Bills.
The pick right after Keon Coleman.
A younger Shakir type, a more consistent example.
Yeah, with better hands.
But that's, so that's my point, that they refuse to get a wide receiver. Mo raised a good point in the sense that the Bills are really, really good, but it's like McDermott doesn't want a star on the team because it's not his. Like, well, no, he doesn't fit our room. Well, make it fit, right?
But they always picked the wrong ones, though. Think about it. When they signed Von Miller, he was 4 years past his prime.
Like, yeah, they tried. You're right.
You know, they tried, but they always
they signed Von Miller, and then he attacks his wife a week later, too, right? Yeah, so it was kind of a, you know, that was a weird thing.
It's like the Leafs. You pick up guys who are done.
Yeah, it's too late, Cam. Exactly.
Like Jeff O'Neill or
it doesn't work. Okay,
like, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, we got Bosa. Yeah, we should have got Bosa 4 years ago. That would have
hurt too. Another guy. Like, the Bills are just hurt.
Yeah, they but it's teams. All of them. Like, that's on the wide. That's on the GM too. It's like, you know, you never draft wide receiver. And my deal is too, in the offseason, whenever these guys are available, the Bills don't go after them. We should have went after Henderson, right? Like, just point blank. You know, like when these dudes, the Myles Garrett's of the world and all these star players, when they're available, go after them and worry about the consequences after, right? You got and as far as the rush game, the Cincinnati Bengals give up 166 yards a game on the ground. And the Bengals are known for like being a joke of a defense. The New York Giants gave up 152 yards a game on the ground, and their coach just got fired this morning. The Buffalo Bills are ranked 30th in the NFL. They give up 147 yards a game on the ground. Like, if you look at the bottom five, six teams, seven teams, listen to this. So, 32nd ranked rush defense, Cincinnati, terrible team. Giants, 31, terrible team. Buffalo, 30, terrible team. Atlanta, 29. Dallas, 28. Tennessee, 27. Miami, the Jets, Chicago, Minnesota. You know, like, dude, like the Bills, you're not in a very good neighborhood here of teams, are you, Mr. McDermott? Like, when you look at this, like, and it's your defense, sir. So I look at you, and I'm like, this is your defense. You have, like, look at that. We're with the dregs of the National Football League. The New Orleans Saints, like, have a better run defense than the Buffalo Bills do. Like, a lot of teams do. It's pathetic. Like, Carolina, Vegas. Vegas only gave up 106 yards a game. That's kind of deceptive because you can throw on them.
you can really throw
Trust
on them.
Trust me.
So, yeah. Some of these numbers are deceptive.
They are.
Give me the paper cuts.
Then bottom line, though, is they shouldn't be in that neighborhood if they're a contender.
Stats are often deceptive with this stuff. Oh, they give up this many. Like, college is like that often. You'll see, like, oh, this team, they give up a lot of passing yards a game. Yeah, like, yeah, because they're winning 40-6, jackass. Like,
exactly.
No, of course they're giving up passing yards. They're winning by 40 every week, and they're just coasting the rest of the game. But, yeah, that's, you know, listen, it's not the end of the world for the Bills. We'll see. But
I was going to say, Gabe, McDermott, is he Tony Dungy 2.0?
Yeah, it's a good comparison. I sort of think Marty Schottenheimer a bit. Sort of.
I kind of think Schottenheimer's better, Gabe. It's crazy. It's like,
Schottenheimer got further. You're right. Yes. You're right. Sure, you're right. Schottenheimer won more. I give you that. You're right. I would say Schottenheimer's better. But same good comparisons, though, I think. People use those. And everyone remembers, right, Tony Dungy and the Bills. One little tweak with Gruden kind of came in. They won the Super Bowl. Right. Sometimes it just takes like a new voice, a new attitude. But listen, it's a lot like your Leafs, Cam, right? In the
center,
where like with the Bills in that I'm going to try to stay positive in that. All right. Maybe we can win in the playoffs when we kind of aren't supposed to when we're choking because we haven't done it when we're the favorites. Right. Like we've tried every angle. Well, we're the favorites. We're the underdog. We're this. We're that. So the Bills will be in the playoffs. I'm not going to panic now. It'll come down to a couple of, you know, play here, play there. But it's not just McDermott. It's the overall just passion and culture of the football team. a bit.
I agree, but every good team they play, that's the whole thing. That's Buffalo, and maybe that's the way they're doing.
Yeah, they're almost better against good teams. Yes, that's why I'm not worried about the playoffs as much. Like we won't have thing. You know what I mean? Like
you know what I mean? That Baltimore game, they like you know what I mean? That the comeback there, they were bad early, but they came back, and we know Baltimore is a good team when healthy. The Kansas City game, they actually got in Mahomes' face. They put him on his ass. That's the whole thing about the Bills. So yeah, I don't think it's panic mode. It's just. Look, other teams are just taking care of their business. Buffalo, they're just nonchalant. They played down to the level of their competition. They got to be better.
You know what's wild, though, is that we're getting to the time now where, you know, like I said yesterday on the shows, Yogi Berra once said, you know, he's got all the great slogans and lines. Yogi Berra said, it gets late early here.
Yeah.
Once. And we're getting late early here in the National Football League right now. There's like this, there's a lot of teams with very similar records.
Right.
And the games are starting to count. And normally you say, I don't worry about it. It's still like 2 months left. Not really. Like there's not 2 months left anymore. The season's cruising along here. We've played 10 games now. There's only 7 games left. And there's teams with very similar records. So every game does count right now. And this is the up. And what's where I was going with this is, we have to start to buy in that, you know what, this is legitimate. The Colts actually are going to be hosting a playoff game or two. Like the Denver Broncos. And the Broncos, yeah. Like, that's my whole thing, Cam and Mo. Imagine, you saw the Broncos play the other night. That's not an 8-2 football team. Like the Bills are 6-3. Like the Bills are better than the Denver Broncos are. So you can have your record. And if we play them, fine, we'll beat them.
And the Colts,
I'm not,
too?
I'm not losing sleep over the Denver Broncos because they're 8-2.
Despite being the better, like look at the Pittsburgh Steelers annihilated the Colts. In the second.
I fear the Colts more than I do the.
I get it, Gabe, but the Colts could have lost that. They were very, very lucky to beat Atlanta.
No, I'm just saying the Bills. You're right, though, Cam. Look, that's my whole point. Look, the Steelers beat the Colts. The Chargers just messed the Steelers up. Everybody's kind of the same in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Let's not overreact with the records, but it goes. Me and Mo were talking about. How the hell are the Bills going to stop Jonathan Taylor? They wouldn't. They wouldn't stop him.
For sure not. But the thing is, there's probably less questions about the Colts today than what we had about 5 weeks ago when we said, let's see how they are in the long play of the season. Like now they're trying to show they're the true forte with the
Colts. The only thing with the Colts is, let's see. It's almost like last year with Sam Darnold. It's like, yeah, all right, Jones, you played really well, but let's see.
Exactly.
Let's talk to me in December and like in a playoff game when the bullets are flying differently and defensive coordinator to say, you know what? They did this all year. I bet you if we come at them with this different approach, it's really going to throw them off. And they're going to come up with stuff for Daniel Jones. You know,
they got murdered. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have the most pedestrian offense. I watched this team playing. Oh, God, these guys look awful. Terrible. They absolutely annihilated the Colts. And the Colts were losing to the Falcons. It took Jonathan Taylor to put his team on his back. There's a lot of question marks with a lot of teams in the league, Gabe. That's what makes it the National Football
League.
Yeah,
that's why I'm not panicking about the Bills. Like, I'm like, yeah, all right. You know, they're. Are they better than these teams? No, but
you just have to get on a heater in late December.
Yeah. Get hot at the right time, right? Win a couple of games, get your confidence back.
For sure.
So if the playoffs started today, the Indianapolis Colts would be the 1 seed and have the bye. The Jags are the 7 seed and would play at Denver.
Rematch 95 playoffs.
The Buffalo Bills will be the 6 seed and play at Foxborough against the New England Patriots.
And that'd be a good matchup for them, I think.
Yeah, it'll be May's first, exactly. Like, I'm not saying it's going to end up like this, but it could end up like this. And you get the Chargers. It would be a rematch of last night. The Chargers at Pittsburgh. The 5-4 matchup. So that's as of right now in the NFC. And we got that big one tonight with the Packers and the Eagles. Cam, Seahawks are actually the number 1 seed right now. Due to tiebreakers.
Unbelievable. I got to be honest with you, Gabe. I want them to go on the road.
Yeah, I was going to say, play all the games.
Yeah, I love this team on the road. I just want, like, they don't
They're
have to play
too much.
I know. I'm scared.
Well, don't worry, Cam. You're going to get your wish. You're on the road against the Rams this week. So you got your wish.
Well, this is I can't wait for this game this week.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Why isn't Sam Darnold getting any MVP love?
Guy doesn't put up numbers, Mo. Take a look. The thing is about Seattle, take a look at Darnold's numbers. Oh, Sam Darnold threw for 106 yards because they didn't need to. They were up 28-0. They're running Charbonnet. They're doing this and that. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, the gaudy numbers aren't there, but
he's been MVP quarterback, though. He's been playing good. Like an MVP. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. The defense has been great.
like I said, we got McDonald there. It's very Michigan-like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They play smash mouth defense. They fly around. And I know it's not the same coordinators, but it's amazing. Like, I can almost tell you what Seattle are going to run, like, before they do it all the time. There, it's like the J.J. McCarthy way. And it was like with McCarthy, he didn't throw the ball a lot at Michigan, but when he did it well. And it's the same thing with Darnold, right? It's like, yeah, he didn't throw it 35 times a game, but man, he throws it with accuracy, like precision.
He's like a relief pitcher in baseball. Coming like they've got,
you'll notice they've got the quick step drop sort of slant over the middle down pat blindfolded now. Where Darnold just 1, 2, 3, boom, over the middle, and they hit him in stride, and they pick up like 6, 7 yards. It's like it's funny because you know who else does that? Herbert and McConkey last night. Same play. Boom. Drop back that quick. Get 6, 7 yards with this quick burst. They've got that down. Like Darnold, I heard someone, I think it was Orlovsky, saying that Darnold doesn't get credit for being as good of a thrower as he is. And that if you see Cam, he's got like three layers of a football. Like he can do like the fastball sort of quick hit. Boom, get rid of it fast. He's really good at dropping it over sort of into like this little zone.
Throws a nice long ball too. Is that
he can throw it deep? Yeah, like he's like a maestro back there. The only thing is with Darnold, you've got to give him time. Mm-hmm. Right? If you get Darnold on the run and stuff, that's when you know what I mean? And teams are gonna like try to hellbent. That'll be the mission for the Rams. Like you've got to get him out of his little rhythm. I guess it's his footwork, right? You got to get him moving his feet. Like if some quarterbacks, you know, are better when you got him rolling out and stuff, like our boy Nate Rourke, et cetera. But like Darnold's not. Like Darnold's one of those dudes that if you get him running around, he will do weird things and he'll force throws and he's going to throw against his body. If he's just like on schedule and he's upright and he's not getting touched, he's going to pick you apart. And yeah, it's wild. Seattle, that division's unbelievable. Seattle. The one seed right now, the Bears are in the playoffs and would play the Eagles. The Detroit Lions would visit Green Bay. And the Los Angeles Rams would take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They're the worst 6-3 football team going. The Giants had them on the ropes, for God's sakes. If Dart didn't get hurt. Like
the Bears? Yeah, yes, the Bears are fraudulent.
Come on, the Bears are the biggest
and the block goes against the Raiders.
But they're up and coming. They're not.
Yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be too mean, but yeah, they're not.
Big games in the NFL in week 11. Dear God, man. I don't do sick days and stuff, but I might not feel well on Thursday night when the Jets play the Patriots on prime time.
Yeah, it's time. Yeah, go get no.
You go watch college football.
What was your line about hangovers? sign me up for another. Okay.
I gotta tell them. I gotta do a Canuck game or something like that.
The BC Lions postseason show called. Yeah, I'm out of here.
BC Lion press conference.
You can watch Grey Cup Classics, Toronto Edmonton from '95.
But all kidding aside, yeah, the Jets play the Patriots on Thursday night football. Dear God. It's 11.5-point spread. Games of note and interest. Well, the Carolina Panthers and the Falcons. Panthers plus 3.5. Bears, Vikings. Vikings are 3-point favorites. Buccaneers and Bills, kind of the game of the week. The Bills are 5.5-point favorites. Seahawks and Rams, another big game of the week. Rams, 2.5-point favorites. Seahawks getting respect right now. Actually, there are some big games next week. Kansas City at Denver. So there's a big
ones.
One.
There's some good games, though.
The Chiefs are 3.5-point road favorites in Denver.
But are you surprised by that, though, guys? I mean,
the Sunday nighter is the Lions and the Eagles. It's a good one. And then the Monday nighter, the Cowboys and the Raiders.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll skip on that game.
You know one thing I will say?
That game sucks.
And I didn't do it. I was smart enough to, like, I'm going to give myself credit for this, for knowing the Buffalo Bills. I'm still alive in Survivor, the second chance Survivor of Bet Online. And it started with, so it's $150,000 to the winner. It started in October. Like, so it started like the first weekend of October. So it's been like 6-7 weeks now and whatnot of it. So it's pretty good that I'm still alive here. And this week I was like, all right, there's two options here. The Denver Broncos over the Raiders or the Buffalo Bills over the Dolphins. And knowing the Buffalo Bills as I do, I don't want to get eliminated with them in this game. And I went with the Denver Broncos, which turned out to be somewhat of a sweat job. But everybody went with the Bills for the most part. 27% of the survivors that were still alive went with the Buffalo Bills. And that's my only solace as a Bills fan, and it cost me my parlay too. But it knocked out basically like a lot of the field here that the Bills lost. So we started out with 11,255 players. 10,178 players have been eliminated.
Oof.
So I am standing. I am one of the 1,077 survivors left, guys. I got a puncher's chance.
My buddy who won Circa last year, he had picked the Bears to beat the Giants.
Oh, he's so lucky, too.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was that or the Raider Bronco game. He chose the Bears, and it was, as you saw, the Bears pulled off the smasher grab on the Giants.
Yeah, you need luck with this stuff, Mo.
You definitely do, especially in Circa.
Like, you gotta have good picks, and then you gotta like just like there's gonna be a week, a couple of times where it's like, yeah, I got lucky as hell. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, we got lucky, but yeah, we survived. So we're off and running now, $150,000, and we go into week 11 now. But man, for survivor players, not easy this week.
What about Arizona, San Francisco? Arizona's played San Fran tough, guys. We remember that game we picked back in week 2 when they played at San Fran. I think Arizona could beat San Fran given how banged up they are right now going to this game on Sunday afternoon.
I guess it's the Patriots. I haven't taken them.
There's not many.
They're not going to lose to the Jets.
No. Houston over Tennessee, maybe? That could be a strong play if you saw Houston on
stay very.
I'm not putting $150,000 stake on that, Mo.
The Houston Texans were getting mauled by the Jaguars. They've been very, very fortunate in a lot of their games, too. Tennessee, I know they're horrible coming off the bye.
I really try to do home teams, too. So it's like New England. It'll be New England. I'll take New England over the Jets.
Every game this week's pretty tough. There's no gimmies this week, I find.
That's why everyone will just do New England over the Jets, right? And they should win. I mean, it's 11.5-point favorites. It's kind of weird that I'm going to have the Patriots, but they are good. So it is what it is. And the thing is, too, you've got to save teams. Thanksgiving is a separate week in Survivor.
Yes, right. Christmas as well, I believe, right?
Yes. So, the Black Friday, Christmas stuff. So you've got to be smart and save the teams that play, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I haven't touched the Lions, or the Chiefs. Like, there's a bunch of teams that are playing on those games that you want to be able to say, at least I have a choice to pick with whatever team I want.
You can save Baltimore for the Bengals on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, exactly. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Thursday. Like, you don't want to end up like, oh, I already took Baltimore and I already took the Detroit Lions and the Cowboys. Like, I don't have a choice. I got to take Cincinnati to beat Baltimore now. Like, you don't want that, right? You've got to think ahead and say, all right, at least I'm going to have a couple of teams I'm going to be able to choose from. But but the Black Friday stuff and the Thanksgiving, although that's at Circa. I'm on the Bet Online contest, and I do know I'm going to look ahead actually, but I kind of did before. I don't think Christmas is separate with them. I think it's just Thanksgiving is a separate week with them. But
By the way, Joe Burrow back at practice today, so the window opens up for him to come back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, why bother?
Yeah, shut him down.
Like, honestly, I get he wants to play. I would play him, like, one game or something and say, oh, you want to play a game? Have fun. But, like, you got to tell him, listen, this is for your best. We're going to get a better draft pick. Like, we're going to get better players to help you. It's a lost season, but that's not the way that it goes. All right, so let's wrap it up with – the CFL, the Grey Cup is set. Man, it's been a great playoffs. All four playoff games were all competitive and came right down to the wire. I hate to use the analogy of the Toronto Blue Jays, but the BC Lions basically were like the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, they did everything possible except win, right? Like, you had the game. Like, you know what I mean? The BC Lions had the game. All they had to do was get a first down. On offense, they couldn't do it. They had the game. All they had to do was get a stop. Couldn't do it. Right? It was like offense, defense, both of them. Like, it was like a collective.
Got to give Mace credit too, Gabe. He gives the ball back. It's just like the guy's relying. Oh, it's like unbelievable.
He punted with 147 left again. I was like, dude,
like, you're an idiot.
All you got to do is get one first down and it's over, bro. Like,
Stones, I'll give him credit for that. Like, having faith like that in your defense. I'm like, he's not done it once. He's done it twice.
They got some dudes, man. They got some dudes on that defense, man. Those are ballers on that side of football.
I agree. Man, BC, but BC could have, should have, would have. They let, like, that's the definition of Dennis Green. We let him off the hook.
Yep.
I like to see Dennis Green. We played him three times here. God damn it. We know who the Riders are.
Do you see the Lions owner on Instagram stories? He posted up, hey, the ball was not completed on the game-winning touchdown. It hit the ground. Now, that's a big argument for SAS fans and BC fans. Was it a catch? Was it not a catch?
I disagree. I thought it was a catch.
It's a catch. I thought so, too.
But the thing is, the ball hit the tip of it hit, but he had his arms under it already.
That's right. So that's he had secured it.
So, exactly. Yeah, the ball was secured. In a modern definition, it was a catch. And I posted it at the time because everyone was like, you didn't catch it. And I said, I call it like I see it. He caught it. You know, one thing, there wasn't great camera angles of it just because where it was, the goalpost was in the way. There were a bunch of bodies in the way. And the angles weren't great, but there was one last angle that they found there from the sideline.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, it was the clearest angle. Yeah. And like you said, you saw, it was a catch. Like if I'm the BC owner, don't do that. Like you had a lot of chances to win the game, man. It was a catch. Like I said, trust me, I was all over BC. I was pissed off as hell. Like that, like, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm not going to bitch about something that's not true. Like,
but you know what, Gabe? Yeah, it's easy. It saves Gates being Miss Elizabeth and who he would choose between BC, Montreal, and the Grey Cubs. So that eliminates that.
Miss Elizabeth.
I'm not a Blue Jay fan, but it still kind of sucked because I liked them. And I didn't like seeing Canada. I would have liked to see Canada win a World Series and stuff. With the Alouettes and Lions, and to be honest, part of me was like, good. Like, I'm sick of this, being in the middle of all this. But the point spread is moved in the Grey Cup.
What do you guys got, Gabe? I got 2.5 for Saskatchewan.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders opened up right away. It was 1.5. So the Rough Riders were 1.5-point favorites. Bet365 currently has the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at 3 right now. So they're up to 3-point favorites. And FanDuel has the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at 2.5, 48.5. So Bet365 has the Alouettes at +3, total 49. Mo, we will not speak before the Grey Cup, so this will be your opportunity to give your Grey Cup pick. What's your prediction for Grey Cup 112?
I'm taking the Alouettes, but I just had this weird feeling. You know how Grey Cups go, guys. When you least expect it, the underdog wins. I think, betting line, it's SAS right now, but I think the Alouettes have that momentum. That defense has been playing well. And remember, though, Trevor Harris – is a very smart quarterback, right? And if he can't get to rhythm early in that first half, it becomes discombobulated for the Riders' offense here. So I think the Owls win it with their defense. And the final score, I have this going 28-24 for the Alouettes.
Cam, what are your early thoughts?
Yeah, I want to take – I'm cheering for Montreal, but just Ouellette. I just see him smash, smash, smash. I'm actually, Gabe, I know – we like both of the games in the quarters went over. Both went under in the CFL semis. I lean Saskatchewan right now. I think it's maybe more of a dogfight game. I could see like a 24-21 type of game, 24-21 Saskatchewan. But I'm not a real big Rider fan. But they, you know what, Gabe? Both teams are very, very tough mentally. And Saskatchewan could have, like, BC was there and they couldn't take it from them. So Saskatchewan's battle-tested. Both teams are. I lean Riders.
No, I think it's fitting that I think we did get the two best teams in the league. Let's call it what it is.
True.
Right. We got to BC had a nice run and they were, they had a 7-game win streak and it could have, should have, would have. But ultimately, we got the two best teams in the league going head to head. Montreal have always played well against Saskatchewan. Right.
Yep.
They've beaten them 5 of the last 7 times that they played. They've beaten them 4, recently. Let's go. Like, they're 4-1 the last 5 in the last 2 years. All right, so Saskatchewan only beat them once. Now we get to history. You want to talk about reliving history with the too many men on the field, right, with Montreal and Saskatchewan and the Grey Cup with our boy David Duval making the kick. So we do have, there is a history between these two teams in the championship game. That's the storyline is definitely going to get talked about this weekend. For you bettors out there, I'll tell you what, if you look at the playoffs – it was a dog fest. Like, these games were all close. You look at the Grey Cup, too. Toronto Argonauts last year, I was at the game. They were like what? They were like 6-point underdogs, 7-point underdogs.
I think more than that, Gabe.
I think it was 6.5 off the top of my head. 6.5?
Something like that,
I thought it was like 8, but
no, it wasn't that high because I was on the Argos on the money line. I was with my boy Rick Serratella. We even bet on Arbuckle to win the MVP, and we won.
Arbuckle.
Nailed it. By the way, the Owls were 5-7 when they played Saskatchewan late September. They've been 5-1 since that point. So,
yeah, that's the thing. The Alouettes are better than a 12-8 team. Their record is not as deceptive because they were missing their players. Montreal-Winnipeg, Montreal was the underdog. Toronto-Winnipeg, Toronto was the underdog. Like, underdogs cover point spreads, guys, in the Grey Cup. Like, it's an underdog game. Like, the favorites often choke in the CFL and in the Grey Cup. But I'm actually surprised. I think the game should be a pick 'em, personally. I like the Montreal Alouettes. I think the Alouettes are going to win the game. I love this in a teaser now, getting the Alouettes up to plus 10. And I'm with you guys. I don't think it's a track meet game. Like, I think it'll play into the – it could go over, though. Like, if you have to ask it'll me right tight. Now, I'm going to say it's going to be one of these crazy, epic, close games.
But that's how it is.
27-26 Montreal. Last second field goal.
Oh, but that's how it is, right? First halves are always low scoring, but in the third, fourth quarter is when they really pick it up because you get that half an hour time break to figure things out. And that's when we start seeing the offense flow and go from that point.
All right. So can't wait. Grey Cup. Winnipeg. What's the weather going to be like?
2 degrees. And 2 degrees. And actually, I think it's going to be light flurries. It's supposed to be 7 degrees the entire week. And then Sunday kickoff, 2 degrees and some flurries.
I'm seeing now, and the weather always changes, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing now -1 on Sunday. Mostly cloudy. Kind of windy, 19 kilometers winds, wow. 12 mile hour winds.
That seems to be key.
You know what? It's not overly cold. It's football weather. Although we will note, it will start to get colder as the game goes on and it's dark there and all that type stuff at nighttime. But should be a fun dynamic because like people in Winnipeg, they hate the Riders for real. But the Riders are going to travel well. There's going to be like literally tens of thousands of them. They're going to take the stadium over. So you'll have a mix of locals who hate the Riders, a ton of Rider fans, and a small pocket up in the bleachers in the upper deck of Alouette fans. The Alouette flight deck, Mo. Those crew. Like, there'll be a couple of hundred. There'll be a couple of hundred Alouette fans. Maybe a thousand.
I would say probably 5 to 1,000, I think.
Yeah, me too. Like if you really, I'd say there'll be like 718 people will go from Quebec. Something like that. Like,
if 717 and a half total.
If the game was in Ottawa.
I'm giving an exact number. It'd be like, yeah. Like, there's older fans and couples and the ones that go every year to the Grey Cup. Like, yeah, they'll be, like Mo said, in between 500,000. Yeah. There'll be about, like, there'll be a pocket of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if it was in Ottawa, I think you'll have a few thousand.
Like, there won't be enough of them to make a difference with the crowd noise. That's
no, exactly. Like, no. It'll be the Winnipeg fans will make a difference for them.
Yeah. Like, the Winnipeg fans will be on board with the Alouette fans on this. All right, great stuff. Thanks for thanks to Cam and to Mo. Thanks to everybody for listening to the podcast. Subscribe so you get alerted when the show gets dropped. Matt George doing a great job getting it dropped as quickly as possible. Other than that, you're on your own. Actually, we got a Monday nighter tonight. Real tough game. Mo, who you taking, Philadelphia or Green Bay?
Give me Green Bay. I can't see him losing two in a row at home, so the Packers all the way through.
Cam, what's your pick?
I like Green Bay as well, but tough game.
I want to take Green Bay. My gut's telling me Philadelphia.
It's a tough game, man.
And I will tell you guys, for everybody to remember that it was the Green Bay Packers that tried to get the Tush Push banned.
Mm.
They were the ones that started this. They're the ones that have complained the most about it. So I'm expecting the Eagles to run like 18
extra tush push
down their throat tonight. Yeah.
Lots of tush.
They're going to go for it all the time. That's what I'm almost worried about. They're going to get it. They're going to say, yeah, you guys are the ones that try to get this banned, huh? You're the ones that started the whole thing. So just something to think of. But it'll be a close game, so I think it's a good game to tease. I'll post my picks later on X. So thanks to Mo and Cam, and thanks to you, the listener. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.